Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, October 2nd, 2012, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-host for the evening, Anastasia. Lavendar is on special assignment for our Starseed Crystal Quest tonight, but she'll be back with us live next week. Our first guest this evening is Yulia Tarbeth, a nutrition and lifestyle coach who has undergone a life-changing transformation from being extremely ill, depressed, and lost to finding her true purpose in life, restoring her health and well-being, and helping other people to restore theirs. She is a natural intuitive, and her psychic and telepathic skills give her the ability to connect with the subtle levels of people, animals, plants, earth, and the wider universal realms of existence. She was guided to write the Spirit of Transition book under mystical circumstances and asked to assist people in their evolution by helping them to purify, detoxify, and heal their bodies through this harmonize their whole selves. Her websites are rawesomehealthy.com, and that's spelled R-A-W-S-O-M-E, healthy, H-E-L-T-H-Y.com, and New Earth Beings, which is N-E-W-E-A-R-T-H-B-E-I-N-G-S, newearthbeings.com. And tonight is the second of a three-part segment with Lavendar talking with her close friend, Deb Regas, about her recent book, Everyone's a Guru. Deb wrote the book 2 years ago, but because of breast cancer, she is just now releasing it. Lavendar hopes that you'll go to her website, which is www.thalasabooks, and that's spelled T like Tom, H-A-L-A-S-S-A, books, B-O-O-K-S, .com, and order this book, please, in order to help support Deb in the fight for her life. At the top of the show, we'll have our Starseed News segment with Anastasia, bringing current events of interest to Starseed and sharing some emails sent to us from around the globe. We want to thank Chris for hosting the switchboard this evening, and we invite you to call in with questions or comments tonight, and the number is 917-889-8292. And do remember to press 1 on your keypad so we know you want to come on the air. If you like our show, please click follow on our show page. You'll get our show notices, and it will help promote our show and guests. And then remember to tell a few friends about us. For our new listeners, our main site is starseedhotline.com, where we have a lot of vital information for Starseed in our vault of knowledge. The entire site is coded for Starseed activation. We also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com. We'd also like to thank Rose, Anastasia, and Sahar for their continuing great work and dedication on behalf of our Starseed Forum. You can also find us on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go. We'll get started in just a moment, but first I'd like to tell you that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. Our Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings and your natal astrological chart, and the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. If you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by getting your solar return timing. And please allow at least 2 weeks ahead of time to make sure that you do get your solar return timing before it happens. So now I would like to introduce my co-host for this evening, Anastasia. Hello, Anastasia. How are you this evening?
Good evening, Arielle. Good evening, everybody. It's great to be with you. I hope everybody's had a wonderful week. I know I have.
Great.
And Thank you for having me on again tonight, and I guess we're ready to get started with our news. And
so we sure are.
Okie doke. Well, we want to talk first of all about what's going on earthquake-wise. Some of our Starseed listeners in North Texas may have been aware that on the 29th of September, that was Saturday, the U.S. Geological Survey recorded a 3.4 magnitude earthquake centered near Irving, Texas at 11.05 p.m. And then just 4 minutes later, there was a magnitude 3.1 quake in West Dallas, and both of these quakes were estimated at a depth of 3.1 miles. Also, there was an earthquake yesterday, actually. The USGS reported a magnitude 6.2 earthquake northeast of Mikayo, Japan. So that's what's going on in the earthquake. Oh, and also there was one in Colombia, everybody. That was pretty good size. That was a magnitude 7.3. There's a lot of things going on across the planet that I wanted to cover tonight in that area, indicative of just some interesting changes going on. We have had a tremendous amount of fireball reportings. This has just been astonishing. There's just fireballs everywhere. In South Africa, there was a fireball reported near West Cape. A super bright fireball exploded over Finland last week. And the Ireland and the UK have seen a tremendous amount of fireballs, along with the northeastern U.S. seaboard, which is very interesting. They were spotted in New Hampshire, Rhode Island, where else? Jefferson Township, New Jersey. And these have been really causing people to take notice. I have here a very interesting website called the latest worldwide media reports.blogspot.com. And they have a map of the meteors that have been spotted most recently. And I'm just going to read you a few locations that this has been happening. It really appears to be along the northern latitudes. The southern hemisphere doesn't seem to have too many recently. But we see one in Morgantown, West Virginia, in Miami, Florida, in Cypress, Texas, in San Jose, in Florence, Oregon, Olalla, Washington, Sherwood Park, Alberta, Canada. This is just a few in the United States. Lakeport, California, Cleveland, Ohio, North Bay, Ontario, Canada, Wallingford, Connecticut, Glen Mills, Pennsylvania, and Carlsbad, New Mexico. And there's more. And then in Europe, we see that there's been, like I said, the UK has had a tremendous number of sightings in Dublin, Ireland, in Warwickshire, West Midlands, UK, in Peterborough, England, South London, Portsmouth, Hampshire, England, and also in Switzerland. So a lot of tremendous fireball activity. And this leads us to a news item about NASA, who canceled a space station alert that was related to what they called space debris. NASA officials announced last Thursday that plans to alter the orbit of the International Space Station would not move forward. In a statement that they released to reporters, NASA officials noted that the space station's path will not put the massive orbiting module in the path of two large chunks of space debris. Now, they're calling this space debris. They say that the worrisome space debris contained fragments of an Indian rocket, and they issued an alert late Thursday warning that this could pose a risk to the ISS. And there are three astronauts that are currently aboard the space station. Well, now, if you take into account the enormous amount of fireball activity around the planet, and September was a stellar month for this phenomenon, and you read between the lines of this press release, you could consider that NASA was likely tracking two or more incoming cometary fragments that they feared would jeopardize the space station. And it was perhaps a trajectory recalculation that prompted the cancellation of their alert, because, you see, a strike has happened before. In June, a tiny meteorite traveling many times faster than a bullet hit one of the panes in the orbiting outposts of the European-built cupola on the International Space Station. And that particular impact wasn't thought to put those six astronauts on board in any danger. It is a reminder that space is a dangerous place and that Earth is floating in this churning sea of cosmic bullets. So I would like all of our Starseed listeners that happen to see any fireballs or falling objects from the sky to please send me an email and report, because I am tracking that, as it does seem to be a really accelerating phenomenon. Hmm. Okay, I want to talk about some news in space. This is really fascinating stuff. A NASA spacecraft has recorded audio frequency radio emissions coming from Earth, and they report that the signals sound like whales. And it is a beautiful song that they say is sung by the Earth. It's called Chorus. And it is an example of an electromagnetic phenomenon that's caused by plasma waves in the Earth's radiation belts. Now, if any of you recall a few weeks or perhaps over a month ago, I mentioned that they had sent probes out into space to test the radiation belt. They were trying to find out where these belts are located and the magnetic power of them and so forth. Well, this is what has detected now this, what they're calling a chorus. And these space belt probes are traveling through the chorus or through the radiation belt. And they're saying the recordings are absolutely out of this world. They're just now discovering this. And there are MP3 recordings on the Internet if you want to listen to it. So just type in Earth Song, and or you can go to science.nasa.gov if you want to hear that. It's really beautiful. And also, we've got something going on with Sunspot 1583. It's been in a near constant state of eruption. And just a few days ago, it did send two CMEs here toward the Earth, and they did strike Earth. And it did cause a very palpable electric charge in the northern latitudes into the planet, into the Earth, recorded electric shocks. Anyway, this particular sunspot 1583 is hurling massive puffs of magnetized plasma into space. Now, these particular puffs are apparently going to miss Earth because it's on the far side of the sun. But there are a number of sunspots right now on the sun that are active and that are potentially going to toss some CMEs our way. Now, we had a storm, like I said, just a few days ago, that electromagnetic storm that caused northern lights to come down as far south in the United States. We might expect Michigan, okay, but Maryland, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Ohio, Montana, Minnesota, Washington, Idaho, Dakotas, and even California. They said that in the Lassen Volcanic National Park, people were sighting purple auroras. And I saw some photos of that on the Internet, and it was really very beautiful.
Wow.
So just a lot of space activity, really, with the fireballs and the sun and earthquakes, and all of this is interconnected because we all are part of a great big holistic system. It's all very significant of some of the things that we're going through now on the planet. So, let's see. I wanted to talk to you about GMO foods. I'm sure many of our Starseed listeners are aware of the real essential need that we have to eat well to assist our development spiritually and to take care of our bodies and to raise our consciousness and to have clarity of thought, good health, good strength. But now we are under a really massive assault from companies that are, and I won't name them, well, why not? I will name them. Monsanto, for instance, that has patented so many seeds that are GMO created, genetically modified. And we are finding now that, not perhaps in this country, that's not being looked at, but a French study has shown that GM foods shorten lifespan. And in fact, in Russia, they have suspended the import and use of American GM corn after study revealed cancer risks. And if you just do a little bit of research on this, you will find that other nations and scientists are finding that there's an alarming connection between GMO products and sickness, ill health, cancer. But there's a proposition going on now in California that seeks to have GMOs labeled, and that's coming up for vote on November 6th. So for our Starseed listeners and activists for good health in California, be mindful of that. And this proposition is supported by the Alliance for Natural Health, and they do have a website that's worth visiting. So that's something that we need to be aware of, because this is all geared toward really the oppression and the restriction of our capacity as divine beings in physical bodies. And we need to be very aware of these intentions and to resist and to eat well, I might add. A lot of you that come to me for readings will discover that I ask about your diet, because good food and good nutrition, good water is really kin to higher psychic and spiritual development, your higher awareness. So we want to do that. Also connected to this story is what has come out in the news. And I take this from a very interesting website. And the author's name is Joseph Farrell, and his website is called the Giza Death Star. He did a very interesting article about the engineering of goats in order to produce human breast milk. And they're doing this now as one of their genetic engineering crossovers. And so we are seeing a tendency now to genetically modify not only seed and food, but animals to produce desired results, such as, like I said, breast milk, or perhaps why not just put drugs into it, make drugs from a natural product, a genetically engineered animal. And there's no telling the extent that this will go to, because if they can do it, they will do it. And so this is also connected to the next thing I want to bring up, just reported by CBS News today about modern wheat. And we need to be aware that our food chain is altered. You know, 150 years ago, our great-grandparents, our grandparents had healthy, natural food. But the food that we eat today is not the same. And CBS News is reporting, which, of course, is mainstream, and it's surprising that they covered this. But nevertheless, they are reporting, according to a Dr. William Davis, who says that modern wheat is a perfect chronic poison. And this man is a cardiologist who published a book about the world's most popular grain, wheat. He said that the wheat we eat today isn't the wheat that our grandma had. He said that this wheat is an 18-inch tall plant created by genetic research in the 60s and 70s. He said this thing has many new features nobody told you about, such as there's a new protein in this thing called gliadin. Notice he's not even calling it wheat, he's calling it a thing. He said it's not gluten. He said, I'm not addressing people with gluten sensitivities and celiac disease. I'm talking about everybody else, because everybody else is susceptible to the gliadin protein that is an opiate. This thing binds into the opiate receptors in your brain, and in most people stimulates appetite such that we consume 440 more calories a day, 365 days per year. Well, this may account for the immense increase in obesity that we see. When this doctor was asked if the farming industry could change back to the grain that it formerly produced, Dr. Davis said it could, but that it wouldn't be economically feasible because it yields less per acre. So there again, monetary demands or monetary desires are dictating the marketplace. And he says that people need to turn away from wheat just to drop substantial weight. He says that to avoid wheat-oriented products, we should eat real food such as avocados, olives, olive oil, meats, and vegetables. He said it's the stuff that is least likely to have been changed by agribusiness. He said certainly not grains. And he says that grains don't include barley or flax, but he said really wheat. It's a wheat issue. So that's something that we really need to be mindful of. And those of you that are having some issues with what you're eating, you might want to consider that. Now, okay, we've got that out of the way, and I've got a wonderful story to conclude tonight's segment with. This is really exciting. I thought it was just wonderful. There has been a declaration of consciousness regarding animals. And I'll just start out by telling you this. They have discovered that elephants can cooperate to solve problems. You know, let me just back up for a second. we were taught as children, most of us that have gone to church and been taught in the traditional Western way, and people come to me all the time, because we were taught not to believe that animals have souls. So people come to me and say, Anastasia, do animals have souls? And I'm happy to say, yes, they certainly do. But in mainstream thought, for many years, people have assumed that animals are not conscious and that animals are less than people. You know, we have this dominion attitude and that man is over animals. This new study and findings, and as science advances, has discovered that animals cooperate, that they have consciousness, and that they are equivalent to humans in their processing. I'm going to talk to you more about that in a second. But tangential to all this, it's been discovered that elephants cooperate to solve problems, that chimpanzees teach their little babies to make tools, that octopuses are perfectly capable of planning, and that other birds and animals and fish and all types of creatures have consciousness. They did a conference on consciousness in human and non-human animals at Cambridge University in the United Kingdom, and they found this, I'm quoting, "The weight of evidence indicates that humans are not unique in possessing the neurological substrates that generate consciousness. Non-human animals, including all mammals and birds, and many other creatures, including octopuses, also possess these same neurological substrates." And so they have found out that animals are very much like humans, and that even those who have evolved along different evolutionary tracks still have the same processing capabilities for consciousness. And this declaration of consciousness has made the news. I mean, it's a big deal. It was signed in the presence of Stephen Hawking, signatories such as Christopher Koch, David Edelman, Edward Boyd and Philip Lowe, Irene Pepperberg and others. These are all famous cognitive scientists, neurophysiologists, neuroanatomists, computational neuroscientists, all these people. But one of the things that they evolved, I'm just going to mention a couple of high points. The declaration said that the field of consciousness research is rapidly evolving, and the studies of non-human animals have shown that homologous brain circuits correlated with conscious experience and perceptions can be selectively facilitated and disrupted to assess whether they are in fact necessary for those experiences. Moreover, in humans, new non-invasive techniques are readily available to survey the correlates of consciousness. So they're studying consciousness not only in humans, but in animals. And they say that wherever in the brain one evokes instinctual emotional behaviors in non-human animals, many of the ensuing behaviors are consistent with experienced feeling states, including those internal states that are rewarding and punishing. They're also noting that animals have memories and recollection of what happened and can base their behaviors accordingly. And so they go on and on and talk about that. But interesting, isn't it, and very ironic that these very same scientists that have discovered this are scientists that still use animals in laboratories to do really torturous experiments. So while we are learning on the one hand, we still have the ethical dilemmas that we face on what to do with the knowledge that we've gained as a species. So while we're gaining knowledge now, what remains is to make good and proper use of it. So that's our Starseed News for tonight, everybody. And I want to wish you all a wonderful week, and keep those emails coming, and live in your light, walk in your light, stand for the truth, and let us be beacons in a world that needs us now more than ever. I love all of you, and we'll talk again
Anastasia,
next week.
I'm listening. I didn't want to interrupt you, but I'm thinking to myself, okay, these scientists and university professors, number one, obviously never had a pet when they were growing up. They could have saved themselves a lot of time if they'd actually lived with a pet. And it's just ironic that science has to try to prove what we intuitively just know.
Naturally,
And
when we think about your beautiful galactic horse and the immense, tremendous amount of consciousness there. And those of us that have had very dear pets that have elevated consciousness that we really know are not animals' consciousness, but perhaps higher evolved beings in the form of an animal. This happens all the time.
Yes,
whether
it's
a bird, look at dolphins. You know, again, it's another example, Ariel and everybody, of how science is catching up with intuition and spiritual knowledge that the ancients knew all along, and shamans have practiced this forever, an understanding of the higher consciousness of animals. And so if we can only get the egos of these people to surrender to spirit, we can have a brave new world. But until then, we're going to have to pave the way. And everybody, all of you out there, be strong in what you know. Be strong in what you feel. Be strong in what you are. And if you've had that patterning of looking outside of yourself, you know, for support and worried about what other people think about you and what your family thinks about you because you're a little different, don't. Be who you are, because the world cannot define it for you, just as they've not been able to define it for each other. And that is why the world is where it is today. So we need to be the leading lights and the leaders, because the leaders don't know how to lead. And scientists can find things out and yet not understand what it is that they're looking at. So it's up to us.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, another thing, when you were talking about the GMO and all the genetic engineering that's going on in the food chain, and there are this is a repeat. It is the beginning stages of what happened in Atlantis.
No question.
And there are many, many Atlanteans who are back now, and we track them every day when we do our readings, and we see the star markings, and we see the marks of Atlantis on a regular basis. These people are back now, and we are working to make sure that that doesn't happen again, because the scientists in Atlantis just went way overboard and disturbing nature. And I'm just sitting here shaking my head as I was listening to you talk, you know, report that. And I'm thinking, the code, everyone, is never again, Atlantis. Never again.
Well,
you have to hold the balance between science and spirit.
We absolutely do. But in this case, we're kind of preaching to the choir, because our listeners know this. It's through the efforts and the emanation of our light and the expression of our convictions and perhaps a certain amount of activism socially that we are going to have to sort of hold the line on that.
That's right.
Because there are many people now that need that message, but they're not listening to us tonight. So that's why we just have to really step into more of what we're about and hold that line in a peaceful way of light, but in firmness and in absolute strength. And we need to be aware, first of all, because knowledge is power. So if we don't know what's going on, we can't do anything about it.
That's right.
But that's, you know, we wonder, many of us, many of you in our readings, we discuss your soul path and purpose, and I look at your soul records and clairvoyantly assess those, and some of you want to know, well, what is my path? What should I do? And for many of us right now, it is about getting down to business, not just in the spiritual sense, doing our spiritual work, but grounding in the physical, rejoicing in the fact that we're here in the body, and doing our work in the body, which includes interacting with systems and the social environment, whatever, that wants to go one way when we need to hold the line and take it in the other direction.
That's right, and plant those seeds.
Plant seeds
of you know, thoughts to ponder. Wherever you go, just stand in your own light and let it spread. And when you're talking about animals with consciousness, we had hoped that Tammy Stair would be able to join us tonight, but she had something come up. But she had planned to talk about it, and I'll just kind of put it out there for when she does come, that since she was on the show, I guess about 4 to 6 weeks ago, she had a lot of people come to her for assistance with their animals in some distant remote healing for animals. And she has been connecting with animals. And talk about definitely having consciousness. She connected with my animals, and she described them personality. She described them to a T. and was able to help with their issues that each of them were having. And she's been having some really great results with animals because, you know, animals don't have any judgment. They just they receive the healing much better. So she's been really loving working with the animals, and I'm sorry that she wasn't able to join us tonight because we really wanted to hear about some of the great inroads that she's been making helping people with their animals. So, but yeah. Talking about health, that is our first guest this evening, is all about cleaning up your body, detoxing your body, and eating to support your ascension, because in order to carry higher light frequencies, we cannot be carrying toxins and, you know, artificially manufactured poisons, really. I mean, America is slowly being poisoned. And you can and there's another thing I wanted, along that line, I had a talk with my chiropractor friend, and she just got back from a conference, and everybody, there's a new movie out, and if you see it in your area, please go see it. It's called Doctored, D-O-C-T-O-R-E-D, Doctored, and it's a movie that was financed and produced by a couple of chiropractors, and it is really showing the truth about health, and but it's going to be, it's a mainstream movie now, so... it's called Doctored, and I think it'd be great assignment for everyone to make sure they see that when it comes to your town.
Well, you know, as we move forward, we're going to be more and more dependent on spiritual healing and on good eating and good health practices and working with non-traditional methods to stay well. So I'm excited about the guest that we've got on tonight.
Yes, yeah. I have a recording of an interview with Lavendar and Yulia Tarbath, and if you have any other comments that you'd like to make, we can do that, or I can start the interview now. Anastasia?
I'm ready to go with you. I'm ready
okay.
to go with you.
All righty then. This is a pre-recorded interview between Lavendar and Yulia Tarbath.
So we're coming together with our Starseed sister, Yulia Tarbath, who's joining us on Starseed Radio. Please introduce yourself and tell me where you live and what you do.
Hello, Lavendar, Ariel, and all the Starseed listeners, all the brothers and sisters out there. I'm really grateful for the opportunity to share my story and to share information that is relevant to our evolution. So to introduce myself, I'm Yulia Tarbath. At the moment, we don't live in any particular place. We left our home in England back in 2009, and since then, we have been traveling around the world. So to this day, we have not settled as yet. It's not part of our mission. I'm a raw nutrition and lifestyle coach. I'm a health educator, author, and a raw foodist myself. As for my wider universal identity, I'm a Palladian. I'm psychic with telepathic skills. I'm a contactee for other races, and an interdimensional traveler.
Well, that is quite a resume, but I understand it, because when I did your chart and looked at your star markings, you are so starseed. And I noticed that you were born on August 20th, which is the big date that I've been talking about to a lot of people. Why? Because that seems to be a harmonic that's been used a lot for uplifting the starseed, indigos, crystal people on the planet. Okay. Well, I know you lived in England for quite a while, and you have some connection with crop circles. Tell us about some of your paranormal experiences while visiting the crop circles.
Yes, I have a very, very deep connection with the crop circles, and so has my husband, Paul. He has been visiting the crop circles ever since the early 90s, and I moved to England in 2000, and ever since then, we used to go pretty much every year. Then I had no idea what it was all about. For me, it was just beautiful fields with beautiful formations, and it wasn't until the year of 2006 when I reconnected with my inner abilities and my inner self that I began to realize that there is something very, very special on this planet. Now, on the 8th of August 2009, which was the 8th of the 8th, 2009, we woke up and all of a sudden we decided to take a trip to the culture, to crop circles. When we out there, we discovered the double A crop circle, which appeared during the day. It appeared literally in about 15 minutes during the day because the farmer flew over his field. There wasn't anything there. And 15 minutes later, he returned in his helicopter, and there he saw a double A crop circle. So when I was in it, I felt extremely connected. And I know, Lavender, you recently visited the crop circles, and it's a very, very special place. So I felt extremely connected to everything around me, to my ancestors, to my family here on Earth, my wider galactic family, Cosmos Universal. And I was approached by the beings from Sirius B. They introduced themselves as beings from the Sirius B planet, who said that very shortly we will be departing England to go and travel around the world. That we will sell a house, I will write a book during our journey, and my mission will be helping people to ascend through pure bodies. So I will be working somehow on purification on people's bodies. And that was all they said. Of course, it did not make any sense to me then. It let me stumble. And there you go, 3 years down the line. We have been traveling for 3 years. We sold a house, we left England. I've written a book and qualified as nutrition and lifestyle coach, and I coach on raw food, helping people to eat non-toxin forming and purifying disease-healing foods. And, you know, it was quite amazing.
Well, and the name of your book is The Spirit of Transition, Your Journey to Inner Freedom and Well-Being. And I have read the book, and it is an excellent book.
Thank you very much.
Give us the name of your website now, and go very slow when you speak.
Okay, so I have two websites. One is more to do with inner quest consciousness, and that's www.newearthbeings.com, so that's newearthbeings.com. And the other website is health orientated. It helps people to transition to a healthy lifestyle and a healthy diet. We also have a blog and YouTube videos that we make for the website. And the address of that website is www.rawsomehealthy.com.
Why don't you spell it? Because the Skype is really doing a number to your voice again. So you need to go speak it very slow and don't say, I mean, go letter by letter.
Okay. So the first website address is www.new, so N-E-W, Earth, E-A-R-T-H, beings, B-E-I-N-G-S.com. And the second website is www.rawsome, healthy, healthy.com.
Okay, tell us a little bit about this book of healthy living, and why do you feel it's so important? And speak very slowly, okay?
Sure.
Thank you.
So my book is becoming a being of the new earth. I was guided to write it. To be honest, I had no idea what it was going to be about. I just had passion to write the book. To share information that I had within me with other people, and it kind of flowed through me, I feel. So it is a guide for people who want to change their life for the better. It talks about the shift of consciousness, the evolution of humanity, how we came to be separated from our glorious selves and ended up creating the world that we see around us, the mess that we created around us, and then my book talks about different stages of awakening, how to release the unwanted patterns of the past that drag us back and block us from evolving, and how to go beyond human fears and limitations, let that be the process of death or the changes ahead of us. My book also talks about a particular attention to healthy living, because we are the pivotal point for evolution. We are in the middle of 2012, which is a profoundly important year. And it's a year of choices and clear decisions. So in order for us to make clear decisions, we need to have clarity of mind. In order for us to have clarity of mind, we have to maintain pure bodies. We have to have clean soil for our consciousness that our bodies represent. So quality and purity of our bodies will determine the level of our vibration and will determine the level of our consciousness and will either aid us in our ascension or will hold us back. So when we bring foods that intoxify us, when we lead the lifestyles that produce results in acidity in our bodies, when we consume foods that poison us, foods that carry the vibration of death, fear, or contain chemicals, hormones, or substances that people cannot even pronounce, they're that long when you read the label, our bodies are no longer able to function to their intended optimum. And of course, our minds are no longer able to think straight, think clear, to make intelligent decisions and to implement powerful solutions. So in stark contrast, when we begin to supply proper fuel to our bodies, our cells begin to cleanse and purify themselves, and we begin to reattune to what we came here with. So it's not that something new happens. We just reattune to what we came here with. Then our bodies are able to heal themselves more efficiently. Of course, if we change our lifestyle as well, if it all happens at the same time, then we're talking about profound changes in people's lives.
Yes, that's very, very true. And it's so timely now that we need to understand that our food and water is the fuel that propels us to stand straighter and taller on the planet. As I'm looking at your book, there is a section called Indigo Star and Crystal Children. And if you don't mind, I would like to read a little bit of this so that people will have an idea that are listening to the show, because we really have a starseed audience. So I'd like to read from your book, if you don't mind, okay?
Oh, sure. Please go ahead. Yes.
Okay. Indigo Star and Crystal Children are multidimensional beings who choose to incarnate below their vibrational level with a strong desire to assist both the planet and humanity in their evolution. They have come to implement the ascension on Earth, which is the Creator's plan to restore balance upon the planet. Man's unconscious actions have caused untold damage to Mother Earth, with his steep decline of inner values leading to continual wars, environmental disasters, cultural intolerance, unhealthy societies, etc. The nuclear weapons that have been used here started affecting the greater universal whole, and this was the point at which the light beings were called on to counter illusion's game plan. A call went out across the whole universe asking souls from different realms and dimensions to volunteer as Earth's ground crew, working on bringing greater knowledge to the planet and preparing it for the seeding of a completely new experience. The first wave of souls who incarnated to aid in the transition are generally known as starseeds and indigo children. They first started appearing on our planet around 1945, with the majority of indigos coming in the mid-80s. Both starseeds and indigos are powerful souls, and most of them are part of what some refer to as the Ascension, Frontliners, Path Wavers, and the Bulldozer Brigade. They agreed to swap away tremendous volumes of darkness and density. These advanced souls bravely went where they were needed most, usually choosing to be placed in the lower vibrational places upon the Earth. They would experience all the density and suffering that existed within and around the human form. And through their greater awareness, they would then transmute and transform the lower levels of thinking and living. Whatever they would have experienced to neutralize or overcome at a personal level was part of the Earth's collective consciousness. And these beings were working on preparing a space for a more advanced generation of children, such as crystal and star children, to come to the planet. Indigos are catalysts and warriors for truth and justice. They cannot stand being lied to and told what to do. Their common traits include the rejection of rigid rules and dogma and the inability to relate to the society they live in. entering the illusionary structures and rebelling against them in order to shake them and cause chaos was all part of the original agreement, which is now completed. They had to shine the light of truth upon the blindness of this world so that Earth's population could start waking up from their illusionary dream, and thus the overall level of the planet's vibration could rise. Many new advanced technologies were developed by Indigos. Starseeds are very Earth-oriented. Many of them are now adults who feel that Earth is not their true home. This is because they have come from other planets, galaxies, and dimensions, and have a galactic lineage. Starseeds are gifted and wise beings who usually have telepathic, psychic, remote viewing, and healing abilities. They have a very strong presence about them, and starseeds love children, nature, and animals, and enjoy communicating with them. They are social beings who see vivid dreams and are in tune with the greater whole. They have created many advanced technologies on Earth. Star children who followed the generation of starseeds are highly intelligent, scientific, environmentally aware, and will bring many advanced technologies to Earth in the future. They are strong beings who often dream about being in spaceships and communicating with other dimensions. They are multidimensional and download a lot of cosmic information. They are peacemakers and see solutions to many problems. They often know things without having been taught them. Some of them can recall their past lives and other experiences, even being able to remember where in the cosmos they originated from. Crystal children are generally calmer and tend to have less pronounced ego selves compared to the indigo generation. They started appearing on Earth from around 1997, although some can be older. The eyes of the crystal children are usually, although not always, blue in color. Just like the star generation, they also are here to bring peace, being wise beyond their years. They often talk to their invisible friends as they see angels, guides, masters, and other non-physical beings. They are socially orientated. Often if they ever feel misunderstood or mistreated, they can turn inwards and become depressed. This generation does not need to be involved in the transforming darkness to the extent that the indigo and starseed generation did. Crystal children already have the crystalline structure within them. They are highly sensitive and intuitive and possess strong psychic and telepathic abilities and are born with a developed sense of justice and responsibility. Right from their birth, they see themselves as part of the Great Spirit. They are joyful, forgiving, and bring a lot of kindness and love to this world. They have highly developed extraterrestrial minds and carry a lot of light and divine power. Some of these New Age children can represent a mix of various evolutionary energies. For example, there can be star children who also have crystalline energies, and there can be indigo crystal beings, or there can be a part of the transitional wave of children who remix a mix of indigo, crystal, and star energies. So that is some of the information that you have in your book that I would really love to finish, but we really don't have time to do that. So I just wanted to read it so that people would be able to know exactly how you write. And I really do appreciate so much that you have taken the time to write this book. How long did it take you to write it?
It took me a couple of years. I was going through very intense personal transformation, and it was actually a bit hard for me to write what I was detaching from myself personally. But I took the challenge, and I knew that this information had to be shared with others. So it was like rivers of tears that I cried over this book, and just how unfair this world was in the past, and then forgiving this world, and then letting allowing other people to know this information so that hopefully they can forgive and move on. So about 2.5 years altogether.
Well, it's wonderful. Tell us your views of what you think is happening in 2012 and in the process of ascension as you see it.
Okay. Well, I see 2012 as the beginning. It's not the end. I don't personally see it as the year of ascension, but it certainly is a mark, and it's a mark at which we get to choose. What is it that we want to create? Do we want to continue creating wars, injustices, diseases, suffering? Or do we want to create a profoundly different future for ourselves and our planet and our children? So this is the point at which we get to choose. And we as Earth have to do it. It's not that some special angels and masters will come to save us. No, They're there to help us, but we are those who have to implement it all on this planet. So I think that ascension will carry on, and we are part of it. But I personally, I get a feeling that we're about 70-80% through, hopefully. Souls who have completed their homework, who have transformed their physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual selves, will move on. It just cannot be other way, and evolution will carry on.
Well, our time is almost up, so I would like to say to you, thank you so much for sending me this book. And again, let's remind everyone of your websites. Give them one more time.
Okay, so it's www.newearthbeing.com and www.rawesomehealthy.com. And I would just like to add that we are in America at the moment, and we will be staying here for a while by the look of it. We never know where we're going to be next. And if people would like to contact us regarding any opportunities, then please get in touch. And whether this is on the subject of my book or health, nutrition, raw food diet, please get in touch and see what we can arrange together.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest today, and thank you for being on the planet. You and Paul have always held this work that you're doing in the highest integrity, and I really admire that you just dropped everything and decided to go on the journey that you're on. And there's more that will be revealed that I'm sure that you'll be writing about. So, okay, thank you so much.
Grateful. I'm grateful to you, and I would just like to say thank you to Lavendar, to you, Lavendar, Riel, Sierra, and to you ladies, to your listeners, for everything that we're doing together. I think it's amazing. It's profound. I really highly respect your radio show. Listen to your shows, and just all the very best. May it continue growing.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Lavendar.
And back to you, Arielle.
Well, thank you so much. And we actually have Yulia on the switchboard. So I'm going to bring you on here in just a second. If you have any questions, especially concerning nutrition and health, Yulia is here, and we're going to be talking to her right now. Hello, Yulia. Welcome. Thank you for
calling.
Hello,
Arielle. Hello, Arielle.
Hello.
Thanks
we're
very
so
much.
Glad that you're so glad that you're with us. And I understood you to say that you are actually in the United States right now.
That's right. Yes, we are staying in California.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, we really enjoyed listening to your interview with Lavendar, who is on a special assignment this evening, so she's not actually here live with us. However, if anyone on the switchboard has a question, would you be willing to answer any questions about health and healthy living and the type of nutrition coaching that you do?
I would be more than happy to help, absolutely, yes. I look forward to questions from people, in fact.
Okay, if you do have a question for Yulia, you'll need to press 1 on your keypad so that we know you want to come on the air. And while we're waiting for that, Yulia, why don't you just kind of give us a description of, like an overview of the diet that you are teaching to help people with the clarity of mind and to detox the body to assist in the ascension process, and why that is so important.
Absolutely, my joy. So basically there are two types of diet that we can choose for ourselves, the two types of paths that we can go on. And the one path is the path that leads to disease, and the other path that leads to healing and well-being. So the diet that we promote is healing-promoting diet, and it is disease-restoring diet. So it is health-restoring diet. It is the diet that leads to our most optimum state of being. The diet that we promote is based upon the abundance of fruits and vegetables, and some moderate amounts of nuts and seeds, which is our most natural diet. If we look at our physiology, at the structure of our bodies, then we will, there's been a lot of research done on this subject to prove that we do belong to nature, and we have been designed to consume plant-based foods, which lead us to health. And especially when we go to the next level and consume living foods, raw foods, and low-fat raw foods, then we supply to our body most optimum nutrition on which it can then build health and kind of create the state of being and the state of existence that has not been known to us previously. And this is certainly the sort of life that myself and my husband experience, and many people who follow this lifestyle, there's thousands of people around the world who follow this lifestyle, and they've healed major diseases like cancer, diabetes, and candida, and chronic fatigue syndrome, and they recovered from obesity, and then I've been radiant. And personally, I was very, very sick in the past, and I've tried many paths and many alternative methods of purifying and detoxifying myself, and many, many different diets, and nothing worked until I discovered this path. And it was only this path that just brought life back to me, brought back life back into my life. So in a nutshell, this is...
Well, definitely, I mean, the old saying that you are what you eat, this is taking it to the next level. And I know that a lot of starseed are starting to crave more healthy and raw foods, and it does make sense to me that the closer to natural state your food is, the closer to natural state your body will be.
That's right.
And we're waiting for a caller to come out of the screening room right now, so we could just chat a little bit about how long, when you said that you were extremely ill, how long did the transition take from illness to health using this type of a nutritional approach?
Mm-hmm. Sure. I was very much ready for it on all levels, because I could not live in pain anymore, and I could no longer wake up in the middle of the night being in pain, and I was willing to go all the way and do it quick, and my desire to be healthy was so strong that it really helped me to just forget about all these foods of the past that my mental mind was craving, and just really tune into my body and go with my body. So I joined this path back in mid-2009, in the summer of 2009, so I've been on this path for over 3 years now. In terms of transition, you know, things were not instant, of course, because it just cannot be instant. Only tablets give instant relief from symptoms, but they never address the root cause of disease.
Right.
So my body had to purify, it had to detoxify, but pretty much straight away, I started feeling tremendous benefits, and this is when I understood that, okay, it is working for my body, so it's doing something that is profound to my body, and my body is responding to this diet and this lifestyle compared to many, many diets that I was on in the past that would only make me weaker. And I was able to discontinue many of the supplements that I was taking. The diet and the lifestyle that we promote is actually... kind of, it takes people away from this concept of supplements for this and symptoms. It totally goes into the philosophy of removing the root cause. So people may be taking supplements and eating a healthish diet, but if the root cause is not addressed, then the supplement is not going to, excuse me, then the supplement is not going to help them and is not going to bring health benefits to them. So the candida, I had candida, and I had candida for many, many years before I joined this path, and candida disappeared within 3 days, and prior to that I was on anti-candida diet for 2 years, nothing happened. And then I felt tremendous relief to chronic fatigue. I was feeling more energized, more happy, more positive, more vibrant. Then I recovered from chronic fatigue. Then I was depressed before I came to this lifestyle, because I was just so sick all over time. My depression lifted. My PMS disappeared. I had really tremendously painful and heavy periods in the past. So that just was forgotten totally. My cravings were healed. And just generally, it wasn't only physical well-being that I experienced, physical change that I experienced, but it was very much mental and emotional as well. I was no longer feeling up and down with my emotions and totally imbalanced. I just found myself in a very sort of calm, centered state of being and very excited and empowered. So then a whole life changed as well. Spiritually, I noticed myself becoming much more in tune with my body, with the language of my body, with the language of my soul, and started really interpreting the messages of the universe around me. So and started attracting these different things into my life because I was connecting with a sort of the living vibration.
Well, that makes total sense. And I know that when you start something new and completely different from what you had experienced, that if you noticed a lifting of some of the symptoms, you know, in as quickly as 3 days, that really gives you the motivation and the inspiration that I might be onto something here, and really gives you the impetus that you need to continue with that program.
Absolutely.
Anytime, you know, yeah, I mean, if people have to go on faith that, yeah, if I do this for 6 months, I might feel better, it's really hard to keep that up in the real world. So when you start noticing a difference right away, I think that does help you
that's right, then.
Go into it, you know, much more wholeheartedly. Well, we have some callers with questions for you. So let's go ahead and take some questions from the audience. First of all, we are going to talk to Eileen as soon as I get your mic open. Hello, Eileen. You're on the air with Yulia Tarbath.
Hi, Yulia. I just wanted to give you a big hug and applaud you for going in the path of working with Mother Nature, because she has all the secrets, and I've been on the path myself since 1972 when I read a book about the land of Hunsaka, which are the people who lived to be 150 in the Himalayas. And when I read what they had to say about eating the fruits of the earth and fruits of the trees and the plants of the earth. And there was another book that I read years ago, The Pleiadian. It's called The Humankind, Evolution of Humankind, by Barbara Hine Clow, I think, or Amora Quinn, one of those two girls.
Uh-huh.
And it was the last chapter was all about earth, how we went from planet to planet. We came to earth and how the intelligences are in the plants. And that just like hit home to me. So I make it an effort every day to eat kale and collard greens, because those plants talk to me with their telling me that I'm breathing oxygen by eating the green of the earth. And I've been eating raw food. I'd say 75% of my diet is raw. And I'm 61. And I behave like a 25-year-old. And, without the wrinkles on my skin and all that, and my skin, you know, changes with the hormones and all that, which I don't take any of those fake processed hormones. I just go with nature. My body weight is better now than when I was younger. And my sleep level, when I go to sleep, I just go to sleep. And when I wake up with the sounds of the birds. And my intuition is really strong, and my digestion and assimilation is really good. And, you know, between working with spirit and the plants telling you what they want you to eat, it all clicks all the time. Now, the other, like, 25% of my diet is I cook beans. I eat beans because if I just ate raw, I'd get too skinny. I would just, you know, like, walk away. You know, you wouldn't even see me anymore. So the reality is like tonight I had a big pot of organic pinto beans and navy beans that I cooked together. And then I made a salad out of kale and collards and red peppers and tomatoes and grated up carrot. And those were the first two things that I went with as being organic back in 72 was carrots and celery. Really important, because I knew way back then. And I've been living through the islands for many, many years. So between the sun and the air and the plants and the trees, I mean, we got plenty on this path here to provide for us between the color and the flavors and the tastes and the combinations. The only thing that throws me off sometimes, and what do you feel about this, is I'm under the notion that it's not good to eat fruits and vegetables in the same meal. That's my body telling me that. And if I do, I get all discombobulated inside. And I don't even care if it's apple juice. I'd rather sit down and eat three apples for breakfast, you know, or like a humongous bowl of watermelon. There was a time when I just ate fruit for 3 months, and my body didn't like that. It was just way too much sugar in me. And there was a time, too, when I had candida. And the thing about candida that I noticed was I was exhausted at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I had itching around my belly button, which was the candida coming to life, you know, because all day I was feeding them everything they wanted, which was everything that you weren't supposed to eat, citrus, and I stopped eating dairy and meat and pork and all of that back in 72. But it was a process for me, too, like it's a process for you, and detoxifying and cleansing and hearing the angels keep guiding you and giving you the messages and just drinking the water and drinking the herbal tea and the caffeine and all that. I gave that up a long time. It took me 10 years ago also. You know, all that was like history for me. So I just want to keep, you know, hugging you and saying keep at it. Just keep being the light for others, you know, and just show them the way. And it's a funny thing because when I'm around people who don't eat like that, they go, God, I envy you. God, I wish I could do that. And I don't say anything. You know, and every time they're eating a pizza or they're having their cigarette, they always say to me, I know this isn't good. Like they want to be acknowledged that they're knowing what they're doing is not healthy, but they don't know how to jump the hurdle yet. So there's really nothing you can do except for those who want to know.
That's a wonderful observation. And, you know, you said that you feel like 25 and you sound like 25. I mean, there is absolutely no way. There is absolutely no way I could imagine that the person on the other line is 61 years old. You do not sound like that. And I can imagine that you're beautiful. You know, it's amazing just how strong our presences are. And when people see you being vibrant and healthy, they just begin to really, without you telling anything at all, just being yourself, just being the light, they just start noticing all the things all of a sudden. Oh, this is not healthy. Oh, I know, this is not healthy. But, you know, well, I'm still going to eat it. We actually had people hiding their plates from us because they were so embarrassed about the food that they were eating.
Yep.
Just to answer some of your questions regarding the fruit, eating fruits and greens, it's, you may be interested in exploring food combining.
I have, years ago, okay. Even with Victoria Klavinsky and Anne Willigmore, you know, all of that.
Sure. Generally, fruits do combine with light greens like lettuce, celery. You can combine, and in fact, their sugars may digest better if you have blood sugar problems. But fruits do not result in blood sugar, and that's a raw food diet must be fruit abundant first and foremost. People can lose weight just because they don't eat enough. They can be craving cooked food, dense cooked food, because they do not eat enough fruit matter, which provides us with calories, and it provides us with everything that we need to fuel our bodies, to, you know, whether it's fitness levels, fitness activities that we want to take in, or just carry out our daily tasks and have a clear mental mind. So eating a lot of fruit is very important, and eating a diet that is low in fat is a key as well.
Well, I do that. I don't use any oil. I've never been an oil person.
That's great. Sounds very healthy.
Yeah.
Yes, amazing. It's really inspirational. Your story is also very inspirational. Thank you for sharing it.
Good.
Thank you. Thank you so much for calling in, Eileen.
Thank you, too. I'm going to keep listening.
Great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Well, we have two more callers with questions, and we also have another guest named Deb Regas, which we're going to be getting to after we finish up with our questions for Yulia. So next we are going to talk with Joseph. Hello, Joseph. Welcome.
Hello, Ariel. Hello, Yulia.
Hello, Joseph. Hello.
Yulia, I had an opportunity to do a retreat, I guess, in 1991. I was in Vermont for 6 months. And I was instructed very clearly by my guidance that I was to consume only natural spring water and liquid chlorophyll for a period of time. and I'd never even heard of liquid chlorophyll. So I went to a health food store, and I asked if they had it, and they said yes. And the guy waiting on me said, "Are you a vegetarian?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Mainlining, huh?" And I thought, what a strange comment. So I began working with, I went home and read the instructions, tablespoon in a glass of water. So I drank it, and my crown chakra just exploded. And I called the guy, and I said, "What's going on?" And he said, "Oh, my gosh." He said, "You shouldn't take more than just a few drops." And I said, "Oh, okay." So I began this regimen of putting 3 drops of water in a glass of spring water that I literally got from a well that was in the basement of the house I was living in. And I began to get feeling lighter and lighter and lighter in a very healthy way. And I did this for 5 weeks. And I have to tell you, it was the healthiest and the best I've ever felt in my life. And I was prepared to go ahead and just, you know, have this from then on. And my guidance said, if you continue this diet, you will change at such a molecular level that you will not be able to go back into a large city. And at that time, I was living in New York. And so, and then the next thing they said was, we need for you to be able to go back into a large city. So I stopped the diet, and I had no ill effects whatsoever. And I just wonder, what would have happened had I continued?
Yeah, there's something that is important here to understand, is that a raw food diet is really kind of an art to master, and it's not just about eating fruits and vegetables. It really is about getting it right and getting it right down to the point where you feel good.
Absolutely.
And I just hope, I wouldn't recommend to all the listeners to all of a sudden start eating fruits and vegetables, because you really need to research the subject. And please feel free to visit our website. We've got books. We've got information, educational resources that are there to help people. But generally speaking, big cities are not really natural to us to live in, but we do have to make compromise. We're still in between, you know, in that transition. So I eat primarily fruit, and which is as close to high vibrational food you can get. And
yes.
I don't have any problems with being in large cities. In fact, I just find myself in a very empowered state. I'm just within myself. I know that if I'm in a large city, this is where I need to be. This is where I must be. So I can't say that I completely cannot be there, but I can't say that I enjoy big cities. I can't say that I enjoy breathing smoke and pollution and just being surrounded by so many people. So it's kind of this path definitely takes you back to nature, and it helps you to sort out your priorities and to understand where you want to be and where you feel your best as well.
Well, right now I'm living in a very small community in the Rocky Mountains, and it's glorious, but I know at some point I will need to go back into large cities to do the work that I'm here to do. So
yes,
being prepared for that.
Absolutely, no problem. If you do it the right way, your mental mind will be very sharp and focused, and you will do what you need to do. You know, you will have all the energy and all the clarity to carry out your path.
Yeah, I understand. And I'm 74 years old, and I've never felt better in my life. So, you know, I really believe
amazing.
That, well, nobody's more amazed than I have to tell you.
That's wonderful. Well, carry on your healthy path,
yes.
Joseph. Yeah,
Thank you, dear.
Joseph,
yes.
You just rock on, baby. Rock on.
Keep rocking.
Thank you so much for calling, Joseph. We'll talk
you
to you
bet,
next
Ariel.
Time. Bye-bye.
Much love to everyone. Bye, dear.
Bye-bye.
Oh, we love Joseph. We have one more caller, and then we're going to move on to our next guest. But first, we're going to talk to Ashley. Ashley, you're on the air with Yulia Tarbeth.
Great. Hi, Yulia.
Hi, Ashley. Hi.
Yeah, basically, I just kind of have a question for you. I guess I've been vegetarian now for 15 years, which is pretty much about half my life. and I eat a lot of alkaline and raw foods. I have an organic garden. But I've noticed, like, over the last, I'd say, year and a half or so, that I've been needing to eat less and less, and I've still been maintaining, like, a healthy weight and, you know, even mind-blowingly gaining a couple pounds here or there. And I've heard that needing to eat less is sometimes a symptom of ascension. And I was just wondering if you've heard of this and if you might have any recommendations or thoughts about this, because I still want to make sure that I'm getting all the nutrients I need and everything. But in terms of how I feel really good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We experimented with breatharianism for a little while, and from what I've learned, I would not recommend it to anyone at all. And personally, I don't really see it as being measured by how much food you eat, whether you eat less or you eat a little bit more. It's all about how you feel and whether or not you're able to maintain your sharp mind, your body, whether you're able to move around and exercise and you're not losing weight, you're not feeling weak. You know, and it's not so much about thinking or using it as a milestone or as some sort of measure to prove whether or not you're ascending. It's not really about that. It's more for in a state of being and the well-being that you experience. So I would not really recommend attaching to this concept so much, or you know, thinking that breatharianism will take you somewhere, that all eating very little will take you somewhere, because people's mental minds can go very unbalanced and emotions as well, and they begin to under-eat. And also, the less you eat, the less you may be wanting to eat, because at that point you may start developing deficiencies. And so it really is about eating sufficient amount every day, or just aiming to eat enough so that you can carry out your daily tasks. And however much activity level that you do personally, I'm very active with my husband, and we are runners. We do lots and lots of fitness. We need to fuel our bodies. We enjoy feeling the fitness levels and just being fit and being out and meeting other people and the vibrant energy that exercise brings into our life. So, yes, I hope this answered your question.
Yeah, it does. And I kind of just kind of, you know, day by day go intuitively by what my body feels like it needs and, you know, what I'm directed to eat by my higher self.
Really, on certain days you may need to eat less because you're not doing as much. On some days you may need to eat a bit more because you're more active, you're moving about. But generally, the amount of food that you need to eat will depend on your levels of activity.
Okay, well, great. I appreciate everything that you've been doing.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you for calling me.
Okay, thank
all
you.
The best.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Ashley.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So, well, Yulia, that answers all the questions that we have from the switchboard, and I want to thank you so much for joining us this evening. And once again, Yulia's website is Rawsome Healthy, and that's Rawsome Healthy.com. And also New Earth Beings, that's New Earth Beings.com. And people can go on there and find a way to contact you, correct? If they wish to have you teach and have classes and things that you offer to help people
definitely
learn about. Mm-hmm.
There is a contact form on both of our websites through which we can be reached.
Okay. Yeah. Well, excellent.
I would like to thank you also, Arielle, for giving me this opportunity to share this information with people. And I would really like to wish you all the best and the healthiest and the vibrance and just all the most amazing things that life can bring us.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for the work that you do. Your new book, The Spirit of Transition, can be found on both of your websites.
That's right, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, everyone, take a look at the websites after the show. And once again, Yulia Tarbeth from RawsomeHealthy.com. Thank you so much, Yulia.
Thank you,
Ariel. You're welcome to stay and hear the rest of the show.
Oh, that's great. Of course
thank
I will.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So right now I am going to play another segment too. If you were with us last week, we had the first part of our of Lavendar's interview with her close friend Deb Regis, who has written a book called Everyone's a Guru. And this is part two of that series of interviews with Lavendar and Deb Regis.
Starseed Hotline is proud to present my friend Deborah Regis. Hello, Deborah. This is part two.
We did part one
some time back, but I wanted to visit with you again about your book called Everyone's a Guru. Now, I know that you took 2 years to write it, and because of breast cancer, you had to wait to get it back up and running, but here we are talking about Everyone's a Guru. So I'd like for you to tell me a little bit more and the audience about writing this book. And what I'd like to ask you is, you use the discernment a lot in your book. Of course, when you and I were traveling, I think I pounded it in your head nonstop about every time we turned around. So I kind of feel a little responsible for that word a lot.
Every time
I read it in the book, I go, oh, there's that word again. That's because we traveled and did some fun things, but we really met some interesting people and circumstances where we had to use a lot of discernment, if you remember.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness, yes, we did. And those travels were wonderful. We we had some great laughs, and we also had those moments where we had to stop and go, is everything okay in this world? And yes, so discernment is something that, yes, you did help drill into me, and I appreciate that. And I have come to realize, especially after, as I say in the book, I got my PhD in discernment in Spain through a very, very difficult ordeal, I think it's imperative that people stop, you know, it's the look before you leap concept. It's the think about things, check into facts. For example, right now, there's just so much going on around the world that how do we be sure it's true? And we always must come back to our own inner knowing and our own alignment with spirit or soul, as it were, and our own experience to be able to decide and to discern what really is true for us in our lives, and what is truth anyway, because sometimes we don't want to face truth. Something may not appeal to us that, you know, it doesn't fit into our comfort zone, and we have to stretch a little bit in order to get wiser. And not all of us are brave enough to do that, but I try to encourage people to do that in any way so that we can learn more, so that we can grow together and help one another to form a better world. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Oprah had a saying, when somebody tells you who they are, believe them. And that kind of stuck with me some time back, because people actually will tell you who they are if you're really listening to them. You know, the tricksters,
yeah,
and the people that are trying to snow you somewhere.
Yeah.
If you have that inner ear to listen to their voice, they'll tell you who they are. I find that to be true. Also,
yeah.
Do you feel like that some of this information was channeled, any of that you wrote, any of this?
Not in any way. Not in any way whatsoever. I do feel, however, that some of it may have been what people call divinely inspired. I think that there were moments where I would get just these wonderful thoughts that just went, oh my gosh, my brain is just in high gear right now, or I'm really connected. And some of the things that came out just made me either howl with laughter or really get serious for a minute and stop to appreciate my world in every new way. So, no, I didn't channel any of this. I didn't go into trance. I did not lay back and allow something to move through me. And I actually do discuss channeling in the book. But, no, I did not channel one word of this book.
Okay. Okay.
It's all
good.
Mine. It's mine. It's my head. My thoughts.
Okay.
I'm responsible.
All right. Do you have a favorite part of the book? Is there something that you would either like to read to us or tell us about when you wrote it that gives you a chuckle?
Well, actually, quite a bit of it does. I love the whole book. I've come to really, you know, when I first wrote it, I thought, oh, maybe this is kind of overkill. Maybe it's too much like a textbook or a primer or something. Maybe it's too much of that. And then I went, you know what? No, I'm just going to trust this process. And as it unfolded, I went,
this is a wonderful journey. And for me, the dolphins, of course, are a big highlight, because that experience was a very important highlight of my life, to meet with the, you know, to have the dolphins for 4 days sailing down the coast from Washington State to California was a profound experience in a number of ways. And I enjoyed writing so much. I mean, the entire book, I enjoyed it. But I'm particularly fond of the parts about the divine feminine and Native Americans, the whole story about the Spain encounter, which some people may think is too out there or unbelievable. But it was my experience, and it really happened. And so I enjoyed sharing that. But I also like the things I wrote about dolphins and prayer and art and a couple of heads up, like things about the shamans. There are a lot of people right now calling themselves shamans. So I said, okay, well, here's my take on that.
Well, you know, our audience is pretty wide awake, and I don't think there's anything in this book that would shock anyone, actually, because they're really kind of up to speed on so many things that have been going on for years in the metaphysical community.
Exactly. And so those who have not been exposed to such subject matter, I hope will glean something from it that they can put to use in their lives. Yeah.
Right. So everyone's a guru, and so I'm going to give that website. That's www.thalassabooks.com. And if you want to see another website of Deborah's, it's www.completewritingcoach.com.
Right.
So, Deborah, just as a side note, I really think that you're one of the great writers of our time, and you have through the years, I've been able to glean so much inspiration from things that you have written. And one of the things that we had that we were working on, that I was trying to help find the funds for, was the screenplay that you wrote called The Woman Pope, which is the true story of Pope Joan. Would you care to comment on that just briefly?
Actually, Nelson Clark wrote the screenplay. I helped edit the book, his novel, which is a phenomenal novel, although some of it is, you know, this story, The Woman Pope, about Pope Joanna, took place in a time where it was dark. Everything in the world was so dark. It was a very dark period in history, the 9th century. And that, what Nelson captures in his book, excited me so much. It was almost like I knew this Pope Joan. I knew her. And I felt very deeply connected, and I couldn't, it's still a hope I have to see that become a film, his version, his take, because I feel that his story is probably akin to what really could have happened, although a lot of people call it legend or myth. I think it's real, and it's totally believable, even the dark stuff, because it was true to life. It was true to what that period was like. He did so much research on it, and I felt very privileged to be able to work on the book at any level, just to kind of even do any just basic copy editing was a pleasure. Followed that process for, I think, 13, 14 years, and I think everyone needs to know about that book, too, and the screenplay. Don't we want to do that?
Yes, we do. And here's a funny sidebar to that. I remembered we were in Oklahoma City, and we had some appointments for the day, but I had the screenplay in my suitcase, and I had been putting off reading it, and so remember, lightning struck our room at 6 a.m. in the morning, and I jumped straight out of bed and I said, okay, I'll read it. And about that time, it started raining, and it rained all day, and we had to cancel our appointments. And
that's
we
couldn't go anywhere.
We couldn't go anywhere, and I had to read the entire story. And by the time I got through, I was like so into it and saying, we have to get this movie done. So,
I know.
Yeah, and then remember.
I remember that vividly.
and then we went over to Sparrowhawk Village to see
Carol Parrish.
Carol Parrish. Yes. And of course it was Pleiadian lineup, and that's when I experienced the air was pink and exhale blue, and that was quite an
experience. Yes, and this is in my book. Do you remember that part in my book? Yes.
Well, you know, since
the
that
pink
period,
hair.
You know, since that period of time, Deborah, I don't think I've told you that what I do with a client now is when I first center with them, I ask them to breathe with me three times. I say, breathe in purple air and exhale blue. And this is a DNA activation for starseed. And so the experience first happened 5 years ago or so, but now I'm actually using that as a DNA activation with my clients.
Wonderful.
And I tell the story about how that came about and how that you were with me when that happened. Anyway, I want everyone to grab their pen and paper and write this down again, www.thalassabooks.com, or go on Amazon and ask for Everyone's a Guru by Deborah Regas, R-I-G-A-S. And Deborah, it's been my pleasure talking with you today.
Oh, thank you so much.
And this is part two, and so we will have part three later. Back to you, Ariel.
Well, thank you so much to Lavendar and Deb Regas for another interesting segment on Deb's new book. And we will have part three next week. And as you may or may not know, the following week we will be on our Starseed Crystal Quest in Hot Springs, Arkansas. So Anastasia will be manning the helm and bringing an interesting guest on our show for that Tuesday, which would be the, let's see, 14, 15, 16th. That would be when the sun is at galactic degree in Libra. So we will be in Hot Springs. Anastasia will be on the mic here at Starseed Radio Academy. And
yes. I'm sorry. I just had to insert this. I was going to say I'll be holding down the fort while you guys are off having a wonderful time.
Well, it will be a wondrous experience.
It's going to be a great trip for all of you. And I'm just teasing, really. I'm going to love doing the show. We're going to have a wonderful guest. But I'm looking forward to it, really.
Well, and I know that you'll do a great job with the interview, as you always do.
And I wanted to ask if do we have any callers tonight? Because I just wanted to make a comment about Deb Regas for just a second.
We have no more callers with questions this evening.
Oh, okay. Well, then you don't care if I just mention this.
Go for it.
On her website, www.fasalabooks.com, there's a link there where you're allowed to read three chapters of her book. It's free. And I did that, and I thought that she's a very good writer. And it was very interesting. So those of you that are interested in this, go check that out and just read that three chapters she has on there. She's a very good writer. So I just wanted to add that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, now tell us about the trip preparations. How is this coming along for the Arkansas journey, and what's the update on that?
Well, we have been working on this since, May. Or early June, and we are just down to the wire now. We have a soul group of 27 starseeds, all with the markings for crystal mastership, having the rites of passage. We are going to the Hot Springs, Arkansas area. We are going to crystal mines and going to try to connect with the crystals, with the Atlantean codes or crystals that have been coded for retrieval by people with the genetic codes to unlock those crystals, and just the thrill of taking your own crystal out of the earth and being the first person to touch it. We're looking for all kinds of wonderful experiences. We know not what at this moment. We just open to whatever is being brought to us. I will say that we've already had what I would call three miracles concerning the trip, just bounty falling from the sky, let's put it that way, and blessing the trip and having the doors really held open for us. And it's interesting that the people that we are working with, you know, businesses and vendors, I have run their charts too, and even the people that we're working with have the markings for Crystal Mastership too. So that was kind of interesting for me to observe.
Wow.
And so next week we will have we'll all be here still next week, but the following week is when we'll be gone, and Anastasia will be bringing in a very interesting, we're not going to reveal who yet, because it's still a secret, right?
Right, exactly. Well, I wanted to tell everybody that I went to that same location in Arkansas in the 1990s and dug crystals, and it was a beautiful, enjoyable experience, and it is a thrill to get your own crystals out of the ground. And at that time, I came away with some beauties, and I just love the red clay. It's a beautiful country. It's got, you know, just beautiful mountains and really special, and it is really wonderful to get those crystals and feel them and connect with them. And we've got such a special group going, and it's a really significant time to be doing this. This certainly isn't an accident or a coincidence or anything else. It's guided, and I just think it's going to be an incredible experience for each one that goes, as well as a wonderful connection for the group, for the Starseed family. I expect that many good friendships will be made, and it's just a wonderful thing to do right now. I'm really excited for all of you. It's going to be great. And
well,
I know how much
is.
you and Lavendar have worked on this. It's a labor of love. I don't think that perhaps everybody that's going just knows how much work it is to pull something like that together. But
yeah,
I have
we
to
have
know.
Had help. Yeah, Tammy and Lavendar and I are all working on this together, and it really takes a lot of hands to.
Well, yes, and you've all worked so hard on it. You've all worked so hard on it, but it's like you said, it's coming together beautifully, and I just think it's going to be a wonderful time. And then
and we are planning to do this again.
Yeah.
We're planning one in the spring, and possibly having this just be a regular thing, because we have so many people that we have talked to over the 3 years that we have been serving Starseed and empowering Starseed. We have so many people that have the markings that certainly one trip is not going to be enough take everybody. So we will always be making announcements as to when the next one is, and if people are interested, we'll give all that information at that time.
Right. Well, we're getting new listeners all the time. New people are coming forward, and so it seems to me that it probably ought to be a regular occurrence.
And it will.
Yeah.
And so it shall.
And so it shall.
And we are, just a so interesting point, we are approaching 250,000 listens to our show, and that is on a global scale. And we're just having more and more people. It's like a homing signal or something, people that are just finding their way to us. And we are so appreciative that of your own guidance that has brought you to listen to our show, and hope that you can also inform others if they are of like vibration. Let them know that we are here and will be of service whenever we can be.
Well,
and at this
absolutely.
Point, I think I'm going to wrap it up for the evening, and we will return next week, same time. We're on every week at 7 o'clock Eastern time. Whether it's daylight or standard, it doesn't matter. It's still 7 o'clock. So with that, I do want to thank you, Anastasia, for helping me tonight. Like as I said, Lavendar is on assignment. She's actually working on the Crystal Quest this evening, so was not able to break away to be here live, but she was with us on the recording. So we thank her for that. And also thank you, and hope to see you soon on the switchboard, maybe next week, Tammy. And thank you to all of our listeners. This is Ariel Taylor on behalf of Lavendar, Anastasia, Tammy, Sahar, Belva, Chris, John Boy, everybody here at Starseed Hotline and Starseed Radio Academy. Thank you so much for listening. And good night, all. Take care, and we'll see you next week.
been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.